Rails Coach Podcast, Episode 9. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Charles Maxwood, and this week we're going to talk about work fulfillment. I'm going to go over my work history, just where I've worked and what I liked about those jobs, and then I'm going to go over the 6 points that I think make up a good job. In other words, the 16s that I look for in a good job. And anyway, so let's get this thing started. Before we get too far into this, though, I want to remind everybody that you can leave feedback for the podcast by calling 801-753-8279. And if you leave a message, I'll play it back on the show, and everyone will be able to hear what you're thinking. And if you have a question, go ahead and ask, and we'll answer it on the show. You can also do that by recording a message, a voice memo on your iPhone or iPod Touch, and then just emailing it to me at podcast@railscoach.com. If you want to connect with me personally, you can find me on Twitter. That's I have two Twitter users. One is RailsCoach, or @RailsCoach, and that's where I post information that relates directly to this podcast and sometimes some things related to programming in Ruby or Rails. My other account is Charles Max Wood, and that's where I post all of the stuff that's related to this podcast, but I post some other stuff that's personally related. I also did a podcast last week on my Intentional Excellence podcast where I talked about work fulfillment, but this is a little bit different because I feel like I can talk about a little bit more of the aspects of a programming job in this podcast, where that one's a little more general about setting goals and finding balance in life, and so I didn't feel like I could go into that. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check it out. It's intentionalexcellencepodcast.com. It's all one word, all lowercase. It's episode 5 that's related to that. In fact, I'll put a link in the show notes. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about jobs. So, when I was going to BYU, I had a friend recommend me for a job, where I just kind of got the minimum wage job I could find there. And, anyway, he recommended me for a position in the Network Operations Center at Brigham Young University. And so I went in for the interview, I got the job, and I worked there for a few years just doing kind of low-level maintenance on the servers, and that's everything from Windows to Linux to HPUX and AIX, Novell, NetWare, and also helping maintain the network and watching the monitoring and, you know, the batch jobs that ran at night, all that stuff. You know, generally what you would expect in a network operations center in a data center. So anyway, I worked there for a few years, and then I got hired from there into the sysadmin team that actually set up the servers and maintained them, where, you know, the NOC, they just kind of monitored it. And if it was something really basic, then they would take care of it. So I worked on that team for a few years, and then wound up right before I graduated, about 6 months before I graduated, I was hired on at a startup in American Fork, Utah, at a company that had a product called Mozy, M-O-Z-Y, which is a remote backup. And while I was there, initially there were just two of us doing tech support, and then we kind of wound up hiring and managing a team together. And then the other support engineer was hired out to another position in the company, and I pretty much wound up managing the tech support team there. I was managing the team for about a year and a half, and a lot of things changed in the company, and also during that time I started programming in Ruby on Rails to maintain a system that we could use to manage all of our support requests. And that's how I got into programming. I'd done it in school at BYU. My degree is in computer engineering. But it never really struck my fancy until I started doing Ruby. So looking for an avenue into development, I asked my boss if I could move over into a quality assurance position. I did quality assurance for 6 months, and then the guy I was working with said, he basically told me that I was worth more than what they were paying me, so I should go out, get an offer, take it to my boss, and see if he'd give me a raise. So I did that, and I basically was told that they weren't giving out raises. It was in the middle of the acquisition, so you know whether or not that was true, I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, I was told that they weren't giving out raises, and so I took the job. And it was a programming job for a consulting. It's kind of a programmer for hire shop, I guess, called SolutionStream, and they are currently located in Lehi, Utah. I worked for them for about a year, and then they ran out of Ruby on Rails work, and since that's really all the programming I had done, and they weren't willing to invest in me learning another language, they laid me off, and I wound up finding a job that same day at a company in Provo, Utah, called PMA Media Group. And while working there, I basically headed up the team that was creating their main lead management system. And I was there for about 9 months, and I was pretty miserable there for the last 6 months. So I was looking off and on, but I never found a position that really struck me as, hey, this is the job that you ought to take. And there was one that I really wanted that I did get an offer for, but you know, my gut feel was that it wasn't right. And I wasn't really sure what the deal was there, but I didn't take the job there. But I recently got an offer at a company called Public Engines, and you can check out their product at crimereports.com. And so anyway, I'm one of the programmers that helps build the back end for the application. The front end is written in Flex and Flash. And so basically, my job is to build the system that feeds the data to the front end and manages the data that it gets from the front end. So far, it's been great. I've been there for 2 weeks, and I absolutely love my job. So there's a brief work history, and that took a little longer than I expected, but let's go ahead and move on to the things that I think make just a terrific job, the things that I really enjoyed about the job. And the reason I've given you this background is so that I can kind of refer back to the things that I liked about other jobs and about the job I have now, you know, and just explain why those things are important to me. So incidentally, while I was writing this list, it turned out that all but like one of these things started with a P. So to make it easy, I switched the last one around. And so there are six P's to having a great job, a great programming job. The first one is passion. And you've heard me and several other people that I've had on the show talk about passion. But you have to have passion. The second one is purpose. And really, I'll go into that, but really basically what it is most people have some feel for what they want to accomplish in life. And, you know, it can be anything from, you know, helping people in a certain way to accomplishing something that changes them or changes the industry or changes, you know, a certain aspect of the world or culture, you know, just things like that. So, you know, you have to have something that's helping you fulfill some purpose. The people that you work with are incredibly important and make a huge difference in the work that you do and in the experience that you have working wherever you're working. Progress. For me, it's critical that I feel like I'm moving forward. The project is the fifth P. And the project is important because it ties into that purpose. And, you know, it can affect progress. But, you know, there's something about the project, you know, whether it's challenging or interesting or, you know, even if it's something you haven't done before, you know, some projects, face it, are boring, you know, so having a project that you're interested in, you know, makes a big difference. And the final P is pay. I mean, obviously, you know, we're in this and, you know, a lot of us really enjoy programming, but when it comes right down to it, you know, you have to live on something. So, you know, the pay, and you know, at the very minimum, you need to be paid enough to live on. So anyway, let's come back to these and we'll talk about them in a little more depth. The first one is passion. And you know, when I worked for Mozy, I got behind the product. I really did. The main thing was, there were a couple of things. One was my background as a systems administrator. I knew how important backups were. I mean, when we lost data, it was critical that we got it back. And, you know, for home users, which is the primary audience for Mosey, or at least it was when I was there until they launched Mosey Pro, which was for businesses. But even then, it was small businesses mostly. You know, all of us have important stuff. I mean, pictures or music or, you know, all kinds of stuff that we have on our computers that, you know, financial documents that if we lose them, we're in trouble. We're out of luck. So, you know, I mean, just, you know, you have to have something that you can just get fired up about. Crime reports was kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, I think it's cool. I've always thought that, you know, there isn't an industry out there that couldn't benefit from technology. And, you know, why not use it in the best ways to make the biggest difference in whatever industries are out there and doing good things? And Crime Reports really does that for both law enforcement and for people that just live in communities. You know, the product is designed for both groups. And, you know, and so I get behind it because I think it really makes a difference. And I'm just really excited about the fact that we can use this technology to change things, to make things better. And so, you know, I get fired up, I get passionate about it, you know. And so if people ask me what I do, I mean, half the time I just grin and go, I fight crime, you know, but that's really it. You know, I mean, if Jack Bauer was a mean programmer instead of a mean gun shooter, or, you know, he'd be doing what I'm doing, you know. And anyway, you know, they're just fun things like that, you know, different fun ways of thinking about it. And to contrast that, you know, my last job at PMA Media Group, and don't get me wrong, I mean, those guys are great, and they, you know, they do some good stuff, but, you know, their business is collecting leads for universities and colleges, and, you know, they get paid for those leads, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't morally object to lead collection, but it was really hard for me to get excited about it. I mean, it's just, you know, I was creating a system that basically made it easier to, you know, information in, information out, money in, money out. And, you know, I mean, I was kind of bored with it, to be honest. And, you know, I think I hurt my old boss's feelings a little bit when I told him how I felt about it. But, you know, I mean, you have to be real, and you have to be real about things with yourself and, you know, with the people that you're dealing with. And, you know, so, I mean, just get something that you're passionate about. And if you're not in something that you're passionate about, look around. I mean, as long as you're meeting most of the criteria for a great job, you know, and passion for me is pretty much the top one, you know, as long as you're meeting these criteria, you have, you know, you will be happy in your job. And I firmly believe, and this is something that I keep hearing from Dan Miller in his podcast, and I'm a huge fan of that podcast. It's 48 Days to the Work You Love, and he talks about work fulfillment and passion. And, you know, if you're in a job that you're passionate about, if you're doing something that you're passionate about, you will prosper. Because people pick up on that, and, you know, they will compensate you better to do great at what you enjoy. So anyway, so that's passion. Find something that you love to do. You know, and I'm also passionate about programming, so that, you know, that's right up there, you know, along with the product and everything else. Let's go into purpose, which is the second P. So, I mean, I think everybody has an idea of what they want to do. I mean, you know, you think about it and you're like, okay, well, I want to change the world, or, you know, a lot of people are just out there to, I mean, if it's recognition, you know, if being recognized and getting noticed by people is your thing, you know, then find a job that gets you noticed, you know, find a job where you can get up in front of people. You know, if your purpose is to do good in the world, I mean, you don't have to be one of three professions, you know, a doctor or a nurse or, you know, a philanthropist and be rich. I mean, you know, there's so many other ways to do things, you know. And for me, like I said before, I mean, one of my purposes is just to find ways to help people use technology to make their lives better. And that includes small businesses, to be honest. And, you know, so I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm going to be starting another podcast, and it's called Capture Your Market Online. And it is basically out there to help small businesses use technology to, you know, to find people and to grow their business. And I honestly believe that if you take that much interest in the community and in both your potential customers and your current customers, you provide that level of service and you provide that ease of contact, and you know, basically you create usability for your business, you know, people will come. And those are the businesses that should thrive, or the ones that care. You know, and so I feel like I could make a difference that way, because I mean, I have seen every aspect of IT and programming. I have. I've either done it, or I've worked with several people who have done it. And, you know, so, and most of this stuff isn't hard. You just have to know where to go. And, you know, once you kind of figure out how to think about it, you know, and really I can explain most of that stuff, at least the basics, in, you know, 10 minutes for most basic concepts. So a couple hours and people will have what they need to do the job. So it's just about education. You know, so, I mean, you know, there's my purpose, you know, use technology to make things better for people, you know, and that's what Crime Reports is about, and their back end for law enforcement, you know, that helps them kind of track trends, and it does all kinds of stuff for law enforcement on the other side to help them be more effective, and that's better for all of us. You know, a business that is willing to reach out and help people and, you know, do right by people, that's good for all of us. And the businesses that don't care, you know, then, you know, I don't feel too bad for them when they're gone. You know, I mean, the businesses that care and that really try, I mean, people notice that. And, you know, the ones that don't are the ones that aren't going to put in the effort and thereby aren't going to profit from what is out there that the world has to offer them. So anyway, you know, that is right up along my purpose. So, you know, when I heard about this job, I really felt like, oh, great. You know, I'm two for two for the top two. Now, the next two for me are really closely connected, the people and the progress. I'm going to talk about people because there are things that aren't connected to progress. But one thing that I've noticed in several of the jobs that I've worked in is that I have had the opportunity to work with some great people. I mean, just some terrific people. And I've also been in a position where, you know, I was working with people that I enjoyed being around, but I didn't feel like they were necessarily the best influence on me in helping me get to where I wanted to go. And in very few cases, but I have actually worked with people that I feel like I don't know the right term, really kind of pushed me along, pushed me along in my vices, in the things that I'm trying to overcome about myself, you know, and, you know, so I'm really trying to do better in a couple of areas, and I have been in a position where, you know, I've worked with one or two people that, you know, that did the other kinds of things and encouraged that kind of behavior. And so, you know, I mean, people are important because, you know, it's funny. I guess the best way to explain it is that if you've ever watched little kids around adults, especially their parents, and I have three little kids, they mimic everything. I have a 4-year-old, I have a daughter that's almost 3, and another daughter that's 1. And even the 1-year-old mimic some of the things that I and my wife, or my wife and I do. And it's just, it's really funny. But I don't think you really outgrow that. I mean, to a certain extent you do, because you kind of get set in your ways. But ultimately, you know, you find yourself talking and thinking and doing in the same ways that a lot of the people around you do. And so it makes a huge difference, the people that you work with. Now, the other reason that people are important, and this is going to go directly into progress, is one thing that I noticed is that, you know, when I was working with people that were way better at programming than I was, that I learned a ton. And, you know, when I feel like I'm moving ahead and getting exposed to new things, I'm thriving. I love it. You know, I feel like I can get ahead and make some progress. And you know, it's not really about doing better than anyone else, but it's about getting better every day. And, you know, so if you work with people that are better than you, then they can teach you to get better. And the person that approached me about this job, about the job at Public Engines working on crimereports.com, he's actually really an exceptionally talented programmer. He also happens to be my neighbor. He's the one that you heard James Edward Gray and I talking about David Brady. You know, he told me about the job and he said, hey, you know, you ought to come in and apply. And so I did. And, you know, I get to work with some guys that have been programming for a long time. And even though I'm only working with two other people that really do Ruby, I am learning just a ton. And, you know, I'm learning from the other guy who hasn't been doing Ruby as long as I have, but has kind of worked in every position that you can work in that's related to programming, kind of like I've done, except over a much longer career. And so I've been able to learn just a ton of stuff from him too. And, you know, that's really what it's about, you know? If you're not moving forward and you're not learning and you're not growing, then you're going to get left behind in your career. But more than that, and this is something that Tim Ferriss pointed out in the 4-Hour Workweek, is the opposite of happiness is boredom. And for me, boredom is when I'm not getting anywhere, when I'm not going anywhere. And so, you know, it's important to me that I have opportunities to learn. So I'm just really excited to have that way forward, so to speak, in my career and in my personal growth. So, you know, that's exciting and it's really cool. Now we're gonna, the fifth P is the project. And, you know, the project really, more than anything else, it really just ties the other ones together. You know, if you're doing a project that you hate and you're working with people that you enjoy and you're learning stuff, you know, in a lot of ways you can probably get by on it and be happy, or at least somewhat happy with it, you know. But, you know, if your project ties directly in with your personal passion and your purpose in life, your what do they call it? Another podcast I listen to, you're hearing about all the podcasts that I'm a fan of. It's called Internet Business Mastery. They call it their definite major purpose. And so, you know, you sit down and you define the things that bring you fulfillment and that get you, that are going to get you where you want to be in life. You know, the things that define what you're about, you know. And so if your project ties directly in with those things, then, you know, you're in good shape. So, you know, I just really think that this project is the project that I want to be involved in. And finally, there's the pay. And I know a lot of people who have put up with a lot of things for a good paycheck. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm not one of those people. If I hate my job, there is no amount of money that's making up for that. I mean, honestly, because my quality of life plummets. I can't think of another way to say it. I mean, it's not worth it. I mean, if I got a job offer today that paid me double what I'm making right now to go work for them and I knew I would hate that job, I would not take it. I would not take it. And the reason is because, you know, my quality of life is more important to me than the money. All I really care about with pay is that I get paid enough to keep the lights on, put food on the table, and keep my family happy. That's it. You know, getting paid more than that strictly takes is great. You know, you're never going to hear me complain that I'm making too much money. You know, it's not going to happen. But, you know, at the same time, and if somebody offered me more money to go work on a project that, you know, really fulfilled the other five criteria. At this point, I'd probably stay at the company I'm at just because I just started there. And, you know, I feel like I owe them at least a reasonable shot. Okay. So, you know, I stay with them for a couple of years unless they give me a solid reason to leave, you know. But let's say, you know, two, three, four years down the road, you know, I get offered a substantial raise to go work on something else that I'd really, you know, be fulfilled by. You know, I think that's reasonable that, you know, I might take that, you know, but, you know, it would have to be enough to, you know, kind of, you know, make it worth it to me to break ties or at least weaken ties with some of the people that I work with and, you know, give up on a project that I'm invested in. You know, so again, it comes back to the other things as well. But, you know, I mean, you know, payment or compensation is something that everybody thinks about. So anyway, those are the six P's. If you're not in a position that gives you those things, I highly, highly recommend that you figure out a way to do that. And this could be by going out and starting your own company on the side. And if you're looking at doing that, I highly recommend that you go and check out Internet Business Mastery and 48 Days to the Work You Love, and maybe even contact a business coach. And I've done that. I talked to a business coach. I'm not in a position right now where I'm going to hire him right away, but it's something that I'm considering. And the guy I talked to is Justin Lucas Savage. He's based out of North Carolina, but he'll call you on the phone. And, you know, he seems pretty tech savvy. So, you know, he can help you get around some of the more business oriented things if you're a technical person, or some of the technical things if you're a business person. But you can find him at Lucas Coaching, LUKAS coaching.com. And, you know, just tell him I sent you, you know, and I'm not getting any kickback for that or anything, but, you know, I feel like I made a connection at least when I talked to him. And, you know, he may be able to help you figure out what your passion is, what your purpose is, and figure out where you need to go from here. And I think that's really why at this point I'm not going to hire him right away, is because I'm in a position that I'm really comfortable with, that I'm really happy with. And so I don't feel that need to get out of a job like I did a few weeks ago before I left PMA. So anyway, so there are all those things. Now, I said I'd probably wrap up, but there's one more thing I want to cover. And so I'll apologize. And if you want to, you know, skip to the next thing in your iPod or whatever, go ahead. But what I want to talk about is I want to talk about employers and how they can create this kind of thing. Because I am shocked over and over again about just how some companies treat their employees. Now, I want to clarify, I was not mistreated at PMA. I think they do well by their employees. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I wasn't happy there, and so I left. And that's where some things kind of fell short. And, you know, I feel like I wasn't treated fairly because I was leaving. But that's neither here nor there. You know, but some companies, they don't take care of their people. You know, they don't pay them well. You know, they don't go out of their way to make their work environment comfortable. You know, they basically treat their employees like they don't trust them. So it's, you will be here at time X and you will leave at time Y. And, you know, you get two bathroom breaks and a lunch break. And heaven forbid that you do anything extracurricular, and we don't want to hear your ideas, and on and on and on. You know, I think most companies are kind of getting a clue and saying, hey, if we hire good people and we kind of give them the opportunity to give us good ideas, we're going to get ahead. But some companies don't. And so if you work for one of those companies and you're in a position to change things, do it. Because the second you start getting good quality people in there doing good work on whatever it is you're doing, you know, and sure, it takes a little bit of organization and a lot of work to make these changes. But if you can do that, you'll get the right people in there, and it'll make a huge difference in the amount of work you get done, as well as your work satisfaction and the satisfaction of the people you work with. So, you know, I just want to put that out there. And if you have questions about how to set that up or do some of that management, you know, I understand some of it because I was there. I was the director of a department of 30 or 40 people, and all the people that worked for me seemed really happy to be there. You know, so I can at least tell you some of the things I did and, you know, hopefully point you in the direction of somebody who can give you a little bit more expert advice if you're not happy with what you're getting from me. But, you know, I'm not looking for some kind of consulting fee here. You know, so I'm willing to talk to somebody for a little bit of time. If you take up a ton of my time, I'll probably ask you to, well, we'll probably figure something out so that I can, you know, make it worth my time. But, you know, if you just want to chat for a half hour or so, you know, about how to make these changes, I'm happy to do that. And I'm not gonna say, oh, well, you gotta pay me. You know, that's not what I'm about. You know, I really want to help people out. So anyway, that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, I appreciate you listening, and we will catch you next week. Thanks.